All right, everyone, the gang is back together. MK is in the studio with us today giving us an update. We're actually going to be troubleshooting and kind of an interesting FI scenario she went through. What happens when you actually need to pull money out of that HSA that you've been funding year after year after year? Are there any considerations? With that, we're going to give you a quick update on the real households of FI, and then we're going back to the basics, how to get started. Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is your Friday Roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Hey guys, super excited to dive into this week's content. And to help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan. I am doing quite well. Yeah, we got the whole group back together. I like it here. This is exciting to have MK back in the studio with us. So MK, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. I am quite pregnant. So I am happy to be back. Everything's been going really smoothly. Got 7 weeks to go. Haven't started to panic too much yet. So it's going well.
Wow. Okay. You are 7 weeks out?
Ish.
Wow. All right. I'm just speechless. I'm speechless right now. You are a rock star. Give us a little update here. Just let's talk FI just for a second. Just for a second. That's what the show is. No, seriously. HSA. You and Jason have been funding this HSA for how many years? And is this the first time that you've drawn from it?
Yes. So we combined our HSA this past year. So prior to 2020, the year of all things, we had separate healthcare accounts. So when I was working in a corporate job, it was less expensive for me to be on my own plan and Jason to be on his own plan just for the overall cost because adding a spouse costs more. So we had two separate HSAs, everything. So through 2019, I had that and then I moved on to his account. So I could no longer contribute to my HSA. We are now jointly contributing to our family plan HSA. And at the same time in 2019, Jason's company switched healthcare providers and HSA providers. So we had all of these expenses that were listed under previous HSA provider, 2019, everything saved. And then starting in 2020, this was the first year where everything's been combined. So as you do in 2020, when you're sitting around staring at the walls, wondering what to do, Jason was like, I think we should do a practice run for taking this money out to see how complicated it is, because I don't want to wait until we're funding year 45, 46, you know, whatever, to get to the minimum age to withdraw money. And we realize it's really difficult. And that was our plan. So thankfully, for the past 5 years, we have not had many expenses. 2020 is different because we're having a baby.
Oh, for so many reasons.
For so many reasons. So 2019 prior, between the two of us, we had less than 2,000 expenses in medical care, which we're super fortunate for our health and grateful for that. So we went through the exercise of, okay, how do we go in and say that we would like to take this money out and do so? So mine was fairly simple. I had to roll my HSA from my previous employer into Fidelity because I am a solopreneur. So Fidelity allowed me to have that. And their process was super easy, almost scary easy. I was like, I'm just writing down the exact time that I pressed this button just in case. So we were able to do that. And we had all of our receipts and our files backed up. So in a Dropbox account. So we just said, okay, we're moving this receipt from in here to a new folder that says reimbursed. Jason's was a bit more tricky. So for his, I have to fill out a form because of HIPAA that says it can show what my expenses are. So right now, all of his expenses show up his name, the doctor, what the service was, date of service, and the cost. And all of mine, it says like redacted because I need to physically sign a piece of paper and fax it or mail it to his HSA provider, because it's the dinosaur age, I guess they want to fax. So that way we can see what it is. so we know which receipt is moved over. So his was a bit more complicated. And we also realized he has an auto reinvest. So if there was over a certain dollar amount just in cash in the account, it was like, oh, you want this invested. So he, you know, set everything to like cash out. And he's like, okay, so that's today. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go on. I'm going to remove it. Nope, it had already reinvested it. So we had to go through everything again. So it was a good dry run to figure out what we're going to need to do in the future. So yes, we are losing compounding on that money that we took out, but it was not a lot. And now we feel confident that we know what to do down the road. So that was our experience.
All right. That's quite a story. I think we're going to have some follow-ups, but let's just take a quick step back. And for anybody who doesn't know what an HSA is, right? Oh. Which I'm sure there are many people. So an HSA is a health savings account, right? It's another type of investing vehicle that allows you to basically get a tax deduction in the current year, right? So as the name suggests, this is a health savings account. So that's why you mentioned having health expenses, you know, more this year when you're pregnant and the pertinence of having health expenses in prior years, right? So the kind of question that immediately would pop up is, hey, am I eligible for an HSA, right? Who is eligible? And I just quickly did some research and it looks like you're eligible for an HSA on your own or through your employer, as long as you participate in a qualified high deductible health plan, okay? And then I went to healthcare.gov and it says, for 2020, the IRS defines a high deductible health plan as any plan with a deductible of at least $1,400 for an individual or $2,800 for a family, all right? So if you're eligible, which Jonathan, you and I actually became eligible a couple of years ago. MK, I'm curious when you became eligible, but I think this is my third year. 2020 is my third year that our family has been eligible. And in 2020, the maximum amount you can contribute is for a family, it's $7,100. It's half that for an individual, so $3,550. So yeah, basically for 2018, 2019, and 2020, our family maxed out this HSA. And basically January 1st of 2020, I put in $7,100. I think actually, MK, I also use the Fidelity HSA because they have no fees, which is wonderful. And yeah, this money kind of sits there essentially until you withdraw it by basically submitting health expenses, right? That's what this whole story is about. And it sounds good in theory, but you actually went through the practice of doing this.
Exactly. And you can actually pay for those expenses as they happen. So what we could have been doing all along, so Jason and I both signed up for these plans once they were available through our employers 5 years ago, like right away. We were reading all the FI blogs. This is epic. This is going to help. We signed up right away. And again, for the tax benefit of putting that money in pre-tax, we could have been paying for our expenses all along with this money, but we wanted it to build and grow for the idea of, well, I could have a health expense back in 2016 and I can reimburse myself. I could pay that with my credit card because I'm trying to reach a max to earn some travel rewards points. And then I can reimburse myself from the HSA. I could do that month. I could do that year. I could do that 5 years down the road. So that's effectively what we did. So some people will pay out right away. We've been saving that because we're fortunate enough that we've had low expenses. We haven't had to pay that out immediately. So that is one of the strategies with it. You can pay yourself right away or you can pay yourself later.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of best practices here. And I think a couple observations that I've made as I've navigated this on my own. Brad, it's a high deductible plan and you mentioned the criteria to be eligible, but there's also this little thing that's a qualified high deductible plan, which is different. It doesn't mean that just because you have a $2,800 or $3,000 deductible, you're automatically eligible for this. It needs to be qualified. And so if you're an employee, you could check with HR department to find out, does this meet the criteria to have it? And then step two, all right, who is it with? Who is actually the host of this? And if I don't like the options that they have, can I just pick my own? Like for instance, there's some plans that maybe they don't allow you to invest inside of those. There's some plans that maybe they allow you to invest, but they make you invest in really high fee options like annuities and something else. I don't know, you know, like, so these are the additional questions that you'd want to know. And if you're allowed to invest outside of it, then I think two of our favorite providers currently are Fidelity and Lively based on the fees that are really important to us. You know, we want very, very low fees and then we want great investment options, low cost, broad-based index funds. Cause our goal is not to have, you know, $20,000, $30,000 sitting in cash it is to recognize that for the vast majority of things, up to the deductible that we have at this point in our life and our earning years, we can cash flow our life. We can hopefully cash flow our medical expenses. And so you're kind of making this bet that I think most years, I'll just be able to cash flow my medical expenses. And if I can do that, I want to take advantage of the fact that I can get all this money pre-tax and I can get it into this health savings account and I can get that into a low-cost broad-based index fund. And if you can ride this for a period of 5 to 7 years, you know, hitting that upper limit for 5 to 7 years, pretty quickly, you're going to start recognizing that you have, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000+ inside of this HSA investment account. And then if that is making, you know, 8% returns, it's starting to look that even if you have a really bad year, you've been able to create a fund that is spinning off enough compounding gains to cover all of your health costs going forward. And so you're like, well, my health is disproportionately going to get worse as I get older. Most of my medical costs are probably going to be incurred in my late 50s, early 60s, 70s, and beyond. If I can let this thing ride out, I might be able to create this vehicle that will just be able to cash flow all of that, and it becomes just a stress-free process. Now, there's actually two additional sub-points here, and I'll cede the floor in just a second. But the one thing I would say is, if Lively and Fidelity are so great and mine is just okay, why wouldn't I just always try to go to Lively and Fidelity? And it's because if your employer is offering the HSA, there is potentially, if your employer is making these contributions for you before it hits your payroll, and Brad, you can correct me on the verbiage here, but in some cases, you'll actually avoid an additional Social Security tax by having that contribution be made by your employer as opposed to you choosing to do this on your own. So sometimes if it's like only slightly better, you know, to do it yourself, you're like, well, maybe I'd rather do my employer because I'm getting an additional tax benefit by avoiding that Social Security tax. Brad, am I caught up or mostly accurate to this point?
Yes, I would say that is very accurate from what I can tell and my research on this. And, you know, again, kind of taking that step back and saying, as MK has described, they had these expenses. And this is why do you want to have an HSA? It's you're getting the tax deduction. Then you're able to invest this money, like Jonathan said, and it can grow tax-free. And then you can withdraw it tax-free when you submit these eligible health expenses that you had. It could be decades in the past. That's the beautiful thing. It's once this HSA is opened, then you start saving all of your receipts. So this is what I've done. I have a Google Doc that I keep for each year, and I list out all of the out-of-pocket expenses that we paid. Then I just do something very low-tech. I just like color, you know, shade that cell in green when I've saved the PDF of that expense. So it's just real simple. I save it also to Google Drive. So I've got this thing uploaded forever. And I have it in that document. It ties to the login for my health insurance. So everything ties out. I've got all of this stuff saved. Now, like MK said, because we're in the FI community, because we've saved some money, the cash flow is not the overriding concern. So for most people, and understandably so, they have put money into an HSA. They have some expenses. They want to reimburse themselves really quickly because money is not just overflowing for them, right? Like people live paycheck to paycheck. They need to reimburse themselves. That's kind of the point of this HSA. But for people like us, people in the FI community who have savings, who are doing things based on value and long-term growth, we can think a little bit differently. And that's the beauty of this. So for expenses that we paid in 2018, 2019, 2020, we just paid for them out of pocket. I saved all of these PDFs and we're going to let that money compound over decades and decades and decades, all the while having saved these PDFs so I can pull that money out anytime I want or need. But I hope, guys, that I'm not pulling this out until I'm 80, 90 years old, right? Like I want this to compound for decades. So that is the beauty of the HSA. It's the compounding, it's the tax-free in, the tax-free growth, and the tax-free out.
And there's one more little point that you mentioned that I think people might miss in its simplicity and elegance and also the options it gives you down the road in that Brad's doing this in a Google Drive. And some of you might say, well, like the provider gives me a way to upload the receipts. Shouldn't I just use the one that they have? No, you shouldn't. If you want to as a duplicate, but what if you change providers? I was running these in parallel. I was keeping my own backup copies. And one time I was uploading proof to the provider so that they had it as well. And then when we changed to move to greener pastures with lower fees and better investment options, I asked them, can I get copies of those back? And they said, no, you can't. So you like want to maintain these records yourself. Now, if you want to give your whoever's holding your HSA information as well, but that's not who you're actually accountable to. This is the IRS long term. So the actual company isn't the one that's verifying whether or not you're using these the right way. It's the IRS, which means that ultimately you want to make sure that if you were to at some point have to provide evidence that these were in fact real medical transactions, you have that yourself in your possession via cloud that's not going to get lost. Google Drive is exactly what I use. Brad and I did not share notes on this, but this is the exact same system that we came up with. It's a Google Excel sheet with everything linked up, intra document to the PDFs also inside the drive, labeled under a receipts folder, categorized by year. At the end of the year, it has a total out of pocket. And so I just know, all right, you know, we had $8,000 in costs last year. We had $3,000 the year before, and then 2020, right? So you aggregate all these and you're just like, holy crap, I am sitting on $35,000 of unreimbursed expenses, you know, over a period of a decade or two. $35,000, that's something I can access at any time. That's my total freebie card. If you need to cash flow some things and you're worried about what are the penalties for early withdrawal, how do I bridge the gap? Like, this is just flexibility right here. You're in your 40s or 50s and you remember, oh yeah, I did my homework. What's the aggregate of medical costs that I cash flowed for the last 20 or 30 years? Oh wow, look at that. It's actually $100,000. Might be nice to know that you can draw that tax and penalty free, you know, even if it's been growing this entire time. And even if you didn't pay any tax, it's just absolutely unbelievable. So do a little work at the end of the year, you spend a little time making sure that you did the right things. And I just have a note like, all right, I have 6,000 from, you know, a couple years ago. I have 3,000 from the year before. And of course I'm going to cash flow these because I have this long game mindset. I'm going to get to the point where this fund is producing enough each year to cover all of those. So I'm not even drawing down on the principal. I'm just allowing the fund to pay those medical bills, you know, 20 or 30 years from now. So it's a fun little gamification aspect. All right. Now I feel it. That was a little advanced. Someone got a little, like that was a little heavy. You know, they're like, I thought what this episode was titled, How to Get Started. Great point. The Households of FI, the Real Households of FI series that we've been dropping over the past probably, Brad, you know, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. We have the very last one in the first round coming up next Friday. And Brad, if I were going to send this back to you, if someone were to say, I want to see all those in one place. I realized that there were a bunch of case studies that people did from different walks of life and places. Like, what is the Real Households of FI series?
Yeah, Jonathan, this is something that, like you said, we launched about 2 months ago, and it's really, really exciting. So we're following 8 different households. So there are single people, married couples, et cetera. The 8 different households at different points on their path to FI, right? And different backgrounds, high cost of living, low cost of living, significant income, and lower income as well. And we've said from the very beginning here at Choose a FI, this is all about stories. It's all about how do you connect? And almost invariably, you're going to see yourself, you, the listener, you're going to see yourself in one of these households, maybe more than one, hopefully. And we intend to follow them for years and years and years. This is what's so fun, as Jonathan said, and I've been using this, the longitudinal study, which sounds a little bit too academic.
I had to go Merriam-Webster that word just to make sure it was applicable and it was well played, sir. Well played.
Nice. Thank you. But I mean, the cool thing is these people at the heart of it, they're getting started on their path to FI. 2020 is the first year that they've found FI, and they're at the beginning. Unlike many of our guests who have reached FI or well down the path, and they're looking back and trying to recreate, how did I do it? How did I get there? What are the couple tips? These are people who are living this. They're trying to make changes. They're trying to figure out, does this make sense for us? How quickly can we get to FI? What are we going to do? What are the levers we're going to pull? So I am incredibly excited by these stories. And yeah, we have the last of our first round of these 8 coming out next week with Big Earn as the guest. So that should be really, really exciting. And then Jonathan, actually, we've got a kind of a cool thing launching hopefully here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We have a website redesign coming, and this actually ties into the Real Households of FI.
You know, Liz, who works with us, who was really Liz and Giada, who just put everything into the site. I mean, they put their heart and soul into the site. And Liz was talking to me on the phone. She's like, I hope the community likes it. I hope they don't hate it. I was replying back to her. I was like, Liz, I'm looking at it right now. I have a single tear. Like, it makes me that happy. And I was saying this to say, when we initially started, Brad, I said to you, I was like, you know, I think it would be really cool at Chooseify if we didn't just have like another blog, but we had a way to present the content that serves you where we are. And 4 years later, we ended up with a blog. We ended up with like a wall of text of information, which is great, amazing, high value information. But there was no way to find where am I and what do I really need. You had to be really invested to get to that content, whether it be a podcast or an article, et cetera. The onus was on you as the listener, as the reader, to go into the website and be able to get what you needed in spite of us, because we didn't make it easy. This redesign, which is going to go out in the next 2 weeks, it's made with your journey to financial independence in mind. You know, we talk about the equation on the show. We talk about getting back to basics, how to get started. We say that we're trying to put all the resources for you in a very, you know, linear fashion that makes sense, recognizing that we don't all start from the same place. And for years, not because we didn't want to, but because we lacked the technological capability and the infrastructure to be able to do that, we didn't deliver on that promise. It was a great goal. And I promise you, we put countless hours into trying to figure out how we could crack it. And for 3 or 4 years, we simply didn't. Like, that is done. I mean, if you go to the website within the next 2 weeks after hearing this thing, use just as an experiment, go check out The Real Households of FI. We prompted you. You're excited to find out more. You will see this website is designed with your experience, your journey to financial independence in mind. I am so proud of what the team has put together. It has been thousands of hours to get to this particular point in time. And yeah, I mean, I wasn't hyperbole to say, like, I wiped a single tear, dude. I like put it aside and said, let's get there. And when she said, I hope that no one just has a visceral reaction if they're like, you know, they were on the old site and they're like, I miss the old. No, no one, literally no one in the universe.
One human on earth.
If you are, email me, we'll talk privately. I'll make some great recommendations. Like, but this is amazing. So anyways, I want to give a public shout out to Liz and Giada just for all of their work and the team that was really trying. And Brad, even you, like, part of this is not actually more content, it's content curation. There were over 1,000 articles that we were pulling and saying, does this make sense in this new environment? Where does it go? You know, if we're saying not everybody's starting from the same place, who does this article serve? And in what capacity does this, who does this episode serve? And what capacity does it serve them? You and Liz specifically went down this Excel sheet line by line, looking at each of these articles, each of these titles, reviewing the content and saying, how high quality is this? Does this serve someone going forward? And made a decision not only about whether to keep it or let it go, but also where it goes. And I just hope, you know, I'm teeing this up. I hope that when people interact with this new site in the next week or two, they just appreciate how much thought and care went into presenting this.
Yeah. And just kind of last note, and we will talk more in depth on this when the site actually comes out. But MK, I definitely want to get, when that does go live, we'll have you talk about the work you've done with Stephen to really come up with these different paths to FI, right? Like, people are at different points, and you've created, again, with that concept of curation in mind, right? Like, you've curated all of this content to help people on this track of, hey, I'm at this point, or I'm interested in this. Where's all the content that I can get? And how can I follow this? As opposed to just, this is a random blog with 800 posts. That doesn't help anybody. But when you curate content, it helps very specific people looking for specific content. And yeah, you and Stephen have just done an amazing job on this.
Yeah, it was a fun exercise to try to think back to, you know, what does each person need? Some people might be further along the path in some regards. Maybe they're out of debt, but they're trying to figure out a side hustle, or they've got a rockin' side hustle, but they are crushed by debt. So trying to figure out the different starting points. So it was really fun. And I would say, if you are listening to this right now and you just popped over to choosefi.com and you're like, what, it looks the same, just go to choosefi.com/subscribe, opt into our email. We will be shouting it from the rooftops when this beautiful new website has launched. It will be on our social media. It'll be everywhere. So we will let you know when it's updated and when you can check out this beautiful, new, amazing experience.
Yeah, and MK, we've been talking here about back to basics, right? And you mentioned in there, like, people who are getting started. And I actually had an interesting kind of presentation a couple of weeks ago that got me thinking about this topic that we're going to talk about next, which was, I'm a member of Dominic Quartuccio, who's been a multi-time guest here on the podcast. He runs a mastermind through his website, doinnerwork.com. And I actually was tasked with giving a presentation about FI. So these were people who really were never presented with the concept before. And I got to be honest, it was not an easy presentation for me to give. And I really struggled with like, what would be the best starting point? And what I picked was the why of FI. And I gave kind of my background and my story and why you'd want to go down this path to FI. And I think it convinced certainly a number of people. I had so much really great follow-up, frankly. I actually just had a call with one of the guys this morning, and he was telling me all the steps that he's taken with his partner. And it was really, really cool. But I have to say, I did get some questions that it was like, all right, so I get the why, but what's the how? What do I do now? How do I get started? You know, it was almost like, what's the magic elixir? And I kind of responded like, you know, with my normal, you got to look at your expenses, you got to figure out what you value. But like it almost seemed like platitudes in a sense, in that they were looking for very specific answers, but they weren't platitudes. That truly is what I believe, that you need to get a sense of where you are personally. I can't tell every person you need to save on your car. Like it doesn't work that way. But still, they were looking for specifics. And that is, Jonathan, I brought that to you and you're like, let's do a segment on that.
Nice. All right, cool. This is fun. So we could go either way. How about, just for the sake of this analogy, I coach you, Brad. Just hypothetical, whatever. I have been raving. You've seen my life. You're in my world. You hear me talk about this idea of financial independence. And one day you just say, all right, yes, I'm in. What do I got to do? Right? That's the setup for right now. Yeah. And so you're taken aback as an individual because you've been beating your head against the wall, just trying to get anybody in your friends and family and your social circle to do it. And then suddenly this person said, I kind of want to do this. Like, can we just sit down and do a plan? What would that look like? And so now you're like, okay, what do I got to do? So Brad, yeah, let's take what you just said a second ago, which you're right. Maybe it sounded like a platitude, but it's not. It's actually what you got to do. And let's go right to it. The first thing is, all right, man, let's get out a pen and piece of paper. Like, let's take some notes here. All right, here's what we want to find out. So talk to me right now about what your goals are. You know, like, what would you like to, like, are you happy in your job? Do you want to do this forever? Would you like to have more options in a period of like 10 or 15 years? I mean, like, if you were doing exactly what you're doing now, 10 years from now, is that a happy person? It's something like that, right? It's helped me just first, let's visualize what the goal is. Or alternatively, what if 10 years from now, you could taste options. You could say, yeah, I might not leave my job, but I'm gonna sure as hell have the choice at that point, right? It's that type of conversation. So Brad, if you put yourself back in your accountant persona a la 2007, 2008, I'm having this conversation with you right now. I say, and you don't know, like, you don't know what's at the other end of the rainbow. You don't actually know that it's just true. It's not too good to be true. It's just true. But you're just like giving yourself permission to dream pre Mr. Money Mustache, pre J.L. Collins, Simple Stock Series. It's just Brad, parent, you know, got two kids, no longer future kids, now kids, and dual income family making $60,000 to $80,000 a year. We're having this conversation. You're an accountant, so you're really good at other people's finances, but you haven't really done a whole lot with your own. You haven't done a lot of project, which is now a stretch because you probably were already doing a little bit of this before you even had the language. But like, I talk to you and I say, like, what do you want 10 years from now? What would your response be?
Yeah, I think Brad circa 2007 would have said, there has to be more to life than what I'm currently experiencing, right? Which is, I have done everything right. I've gotten great jobs. My wife and I both have really good jobs. And I've even designed my life around somewhat of a lifestyle play, right? I'm not working in public accounting anymore. I realized I didn't want to do 80 hours a week, but this just feels like Groundhog Day to me. It feels like every single year is the same and I'm not really growing. I'm not mastering anything. It's just, it's a comfortable life. I mean, I've made moves a little bit on that front, but I can't see myself doing this for the rest of my life, not less, 20 more years.
All right. So let's kind of get what we want to, what, if with your permission, Brad, what I'd like to do is I want to just kind of get an assessment for what your life actually costs. Like what's your inflow, what's your outflow, what sort of space is there, what the opportunities are, that sort of thing. So we're going to take some notes and guys, this is a thought experiment right now. This would be Brad reliving 2007, 2008. So he's not going to have actual answers for me, but this is the conversation. I have a pen and paper out. I'm taking notes. Brad might need to do some research. He might not have all of this, but what we're basically saying is, what does the equation look like right now? Oh, what equation, Jonathan? Great question. What you earn minus what you spend is equal to is equal to this gap. Now, if you need a credit card to get the next paycheck, there is no gap. Like you're barely hanging in there. Hair is on fire situation. Hopefully there is one, and then we can focus on how to grow it. So first, where I start is, how much does your life actually cost? So Brad, like as you think through from an accountant perspective, hopefully you don't have 1,000 recurring monthly expenses. Hopefully there's some concrete number of things that you would consider bills. This is what I need to make it to the next month. We're not talking about discretionary at this point. We're just talking about the fundamental cost, the underpinning of my life. So what is that? What jumps off the page to you if you're going to order from biggest impact to lowest impact?
Yeah. So again, this is the somewhat remembered Brad from 2007. Clearly housing would have been number one. It was somewhere around $1,300 a month for mortgage, principal, interest, and taxes. Then, right, largest to smallest, I think food would have been next for us. And I honestly don't have an exact number, but let's just even say kind of like a grazing type figure of like $1,000 a month.
Yep.
You know, maybe including some going out to eat in there, et cetera, et cetera. Might have been a little more, but I think that's fairly accurate. Transportation would come next. We had one paid off car then, and we had one Honda Civic that was still being paid for. So
it was still kind of new at that point, man. The paint was fresh.
Yeah, 4 years old. Golden Boy was 4 years old then.
What was the payment back then? Do you remember?
I think it was $250 plus or minus. It was like
One paid off car and one car payment around $250 a month, which even today, that's actually probably pretty low. People have car payments that are much higher than that now.
Yeah, multiples of that. So yeah, I mean, those were probably our structural expenses, obviously utilities. So I would lump everything together, you know, internet, cable, phones, maybe some, I don't know, insurance or, you know, just some things that I would dump together. It would probably be $500 a month, give or take.
All right. Yeah. So that's kind of simple. And we could say now, did we miss anything? Because we're going to get to discretionary spending, but we're just thinking right now, that's right. Because we're not Brad. We actually have been on the hedonic treadmill for a while. We actually have a boat payment. Didn't think about that one. And we financed our furniture. So they had a great zero interest deal for the first 8 months. And we, you know, Crate and Barrel, baby. So, you know, we got some furniture payments. Now, let's be real, Haynes. Student loans. So we got some student loans. Brad, you didn't have your student loan. But these are like, now it's starting to feel more real. Now we're remembering, there is that. And you know what? I got a Wired subscription magazine back in 2007, and they gave me a free YubiKey with this trial, but I forgot to cancel, and that's $15.90. Oh, crap. I actually have three magazines that I forgot to cancel. So we got a couple magazines. What do you do with these magazines? Oh, I don't know. I haven't actually seen it. They actually go to our old address. We should probably cancel that. You know, it's something like that. And now we keep playing this out, and we're like, all right, now let's play this forward, because we're just talking about everybody in general. All right, so now on top of that, and you're lumping this in utilities, but I would separate this out. Utilities are the core stuff. Now we're talking about additional subscriptions that we have, and it turns out we have a Spotify subscription. We have a Netflix subscription. You're lumping that in. We have a cable subscription. We just want to kind of, how many recurring monthly expenses are actually hitting your bank account? And you can do that. Just look at your bank account over a period of 1 month. How much is hitting it each individual month? And then now we need to move past this, and we're saying, all right, insurance. What type of additional insurance do we pay? Do we have a life insurance policy? Do we have car insurance policy? You know, these are still kind of, they're not like, if you didn't pay them, you're uninsured, but you know, you have food, shelter, clothing, you know, that sort of thing, transportation, but they are still kind of your structural costs that you've set out for yourself. And the way to do this is, one, without judgment, we just want to know how much your life costs, right? At this point, and we're just trying to prod this person. You're thinking through your own line expenses and you're saying, well, what about this? And you're just seeing, is there anything there? And you're just trying to see, you're trying to shake loose some payments that they haven't thought of. Because an individual that's just been kind of getting on this treadmill for a period of time, you've acquired a lot of small subscriptions that maybe you're using, maybe you're not, but it was too much of a hassle. A gym membership, you know, Gold's Gym is going to come after you. They're not going to not get their payment for life.
And Jonathan, you said in there, without judgment. I think that's a critical part of this, right? The very first time that you are starting this exercise, don't beat yourself up. This is a judgment-free zone. I mean, truly, you are just trying to get better and move forward on this path that, you know, most of us have just really sleepwalked through our financial lives, right? And that's just the way it is. But just by taking this step this truly is the very first step on the path to FI. So, I mean, don't beat yourself up. Give yourself a pat on the back, frankly, because this is not easy. And yeah, I mean, you're going through all of those things. And then, I mean, another one, Jonathan, is the credit card bills,
yeah. Right?
I mean, you can find a lot of stuff nestled in there that you might not otherwise expect. And also, one phrase we use here at Chooseify is life is lumpy, right? And what that means is things come up, these one-time expenses, quote unquote, one time. There are plenty of expenses that are just annual expenses that you don't even think about. You just pay that one time and you forget about it until the bill arrives in the mail the next year. But that clearly has to be included in your annual expenses. And also then, again, with the life is lumpy, which more specifically, things pop up all the time. And while I don't think you can specifically say in my budget is I need a new battery on my car and the refrigerator broke, I think clearly you have to be intellectually honest enough to say there are going to be X number of dollars per month in this kind of life is lumpy category. Maybe it's my own accountant's brain, but like I would even put a separate line item for just a couple $100 or whatever it may be of just things happen, because things invariably happen. They happen all the time.
And what you're pointing out is there's different layers to this, right? There's your core structural expenses. Then there's your recurring monthly bills, subscriptions or otherwise. And then there's your unplanned expenses. Really, they are planned. They happen on a very regular cadence. But up to this point, you're like, oh, it's little Jimmy's birthday. My niece on my mother's side, twice removed, we always get them a gift. Times 50. And on average, it's, well, we're very conservative. We only do $20 a gift, $30 a gift. Times the 20 extended family members that you're responsible for every single year as your family tree grows. And you never miss it, or else you're riddled with guilt. Look, I have my wife on my shoulder to make sure I don't miss these things. So it's just, you got it. That happens. My niece and nephew.
And that's $50 a month right there, just right. Doing your simple math, right?
Right. And that's just the stuff for you to feel okay moving into the next month. This isn't even your fun. Like what you're going to find, and especially if you enter into this conversation from a place of judgment or, ooh, you do that, you have a couch payment. Well, at this point, right? It's not that we don't have an opinion or a feeling about these things, but if you start there, this is a very vulnerable, like Brad is exposing his finances for you. It's coming from a place of extreme trust. And if you crack down right there, they're going to feel the need to reel it in and to not embarrass themselves or to not be shamed. And that's the exact opposite. We want to realize whatever they tell us, it's probably worse. And in order to have them feel free to say, oh yeah, well, you're right. I didn't spend $400 a month on groceries or $250 a month on groceries. It is actually when I add in the dining out and the food. It's what we need to make sure they know this is for them. It's not for us. Like we're not trying to get it artificially low. We just want to have an accurate representation of what their life actually costs. So now we move to the bills. Now we move to the recurrent expenses. Now we move to the unplanned expenses that really should be planned. And now we're talking about your discretionary spending. Like, I'm not trying to get you to make any changes right now. We just want to know, like, oh, I think I only spend about $30 a month on dining out. Okay, so when was the last time you went to eat? Well, we went to Cheesecake Factory last week or last time. And then we went to Chipotle. So you blew past that. Well, that's fine. All right, so do you go out to eat once a week, twice a week, and then you get it for you and who else? Okay. And then alcohol, dining, entertainment. We got to start working through these extra. And then how often do you go to Target? How much did you spend on the slush funds? Or how much do you spend on clothes? All right, cool. When was the last time you went to Target? Yesterday. And what did you spend there? You know, it's like, it's starting to work through these and you're looking for these patterns just to help them say, realistically right now, and we can verify this on your bank accounts at some point, this is probably a decent starting place. It looks like your life actually costs around $6,500 a month right now, once we add all these in. And because they're probably being artificially conservative, then, you know, let's add a couple extra $100. And it turns out it's actually closer to $6,700. This is amazing how much progress, we have made so much progress just by having this. And you're going to notice they're not able to give you all of this right away. They had some of it, but they've come up with six or seven things that they need to check on. So let's not leave them to go figure this all out. Let's have a follow-up conversation and say, all right, based on our conversation, it sounds to me like we've got these structural expenses mapped out. Why don't you kind of, you know, homework or whatever, not busy work, but just real, it's important. Let's go find out how much money is going to these other revenues. And if you get stuck on this, I can help you with it, but we'll follow up in like a week or so. You're telling them I'm an ally. I want to help you figure this out. I'm here for you in this role. We're going to just map out this first part of the equation. And Brad, I think this is a big point, that this is only one part of the equation, but it's a really important place to start.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think this is where we would suggest people starting, is what is your life cost, right? That's why we started here. But to your point, this is a math equation, ultimately at its heart, right? This is a math equation based on value. And it's the intersection of your income, your expenses, and your net worth. And again, I brought that word value up. This is not a path of deprivation. That is the critical part here. If we were all living these terrible lives that we're depriving ourselves on the way to FI just to reach this Shangri-La, like that would be a pretty miserable existence. And clearly that is not what we are espousing here at Choose a FI in any way. And this is why I think I struggled so much, Jonathan, with that conversation, is there's not just this one silver bullet that if you do this one thing, like I can tell you on this one specific day, you do this one thing and everything's going to be better. You're going to be on the path to FI because you decided to save money on your cable. That's not the way it works. Again, it's this intersection of all these things. And it comes down to what you value, what you want your life to look like, what the specific circumstances are. You might reach financial independence. You might keep working. You might plan to earn X percentage of your current income. Like all these things factor into your ultimate FI path and your FI plan. So there's no way that I could give this one specific, here's the thing to do. But we, Jonathan, we need to paint this picture of how do people even get started on that path and figure out, okay, what does this look like? And you know, when we set this up as a math equation, that sounds pretty daunting. And the funny thing is, after you get by the initial math of this, the finance part is easy, right? We always say this, like the nuts and bolts of the actual personal finance, once you get a grasp of this, this is not math-based, this is not boring, you're not going to be sitting poring over spreadsheets, all that stuff, because you're working on getting this on autopilot. I think that to me is the ultimate goal. The goal is simplicity. The goal is living the life that I want to live, not focusing on the nuts and bolts of, did I save $20 on my cable this month? Like once that's already done, it's done and I don't worry about it again.
All right, my friends, this is not about complicating your life. This is about autopiloting your path to financial independence with a little bit of intentionality on these types of conversations. So I tell you what, honestly, Brad had several people. He was in communication. He was given the opportunity to introduce the why of financial independence. That's episode 38 of our podcast. We also redid it with episode 100 of our podcast. He shared it with a friend. He shared the idea in a conversation and several of them said, yes, I need that. I didn't have the language, but yes. Now, how do I get started? That's what this episode is. This little bite-sized episode is, here's how you get started. Now, you don't need us to have this conversation. You're more than welcome just to take the idea here and go practice it. Try it with a friend that said, yes, how do I? Just go do that. Or you can share this episode with them to encourage them to tackle it on their own. We are going to be coming back to this conversation this upcoming Monday. So this is episode 257, choosefi.com/257. So this upcoming Monday, episode 258, choosefi.com/258, we are going to be finishing the equation. We're going to take a look now at the income side, and we're going to take a look at the difference, the gap. We're going to combine that with your current net worth or lack of net worth, whatever that may be, again, without judgment. And then we're going to map out based on our current, what we're doing right now, where does that leave us? And how does that map out to our current goals? And then if there's a disconnect between those two, we have all of these inputs. We have all this information that we didn't have before, and we'll decide based on our goals, based on our values, based on what we're willing to do, how can we affect the outcome, the planned outcome? And it's just fun. It just opens up the opportunities. There's no possibility for you to come to the end of this and be worse than when you started. This is probably the single most valuable conversation that someone could have. And it all starts here. We've done countless numbers of these. Now, we don't do personalized coaching. We're not certified financial planners. This is just what they should have taught you about money in school. This is what all of us need to graduate with this information. And when we're friends, interacting with friends and peers, starting to normalize this, then we all get control. We all get agency in our own lives. So that's the setup. Make sure you stay tuned this Monday. We're going to finish up this equation. And from there, let me also just challenge all of you that if you're thinking about getting started, we have dedicated our energy to figuring out how to bring this information where you are. So even if you're still waiting for the website launch, let me just say in the meantime, and even after the website launch, just go to choosefi.com/start, get on our email list, and we're going to introduce you to this information in bite-sized pieces with free resources, with workshops, with PDF documents, with budgeting tool, like all this stuff. The whole nine yards is coming to you. That's the single best way that you can get started. Go to chooseify.com/start. Now, MK, you have been sitting quietly and patiently on the other side here, and we are so excited to have you back on the show with us today. And what is your reaction to that? What do you think? Did we miss something? Would you add anything to that?
No, I think that's exactly the conversation that I would have with somebody if they first came to me and said, look, you seem like you've got it together. You're not stressed about finances. How do I do this? And I think that's exactly the conversation to have, and without judgment, and really just emphasizing, it's like, well, what do you value? You know, if you're spending on what you value, then that's fine. But then that means spending on the stuff you don't value has to go, or needs to be reconsidered potentially, or reevaluated or reduced somehow. So I think that's exactly the conversations that Jason and I have had as people have come to us and kind of said, like, have you heard about this FI thing? And we're like, as you know, Jason's wearing a Choose FI shirt. He's like, yeah, I have. So we're always open to having those conversations with people. And that's exactly what we would do. We would just start to talk through things and help that person start to think through their own process, not telling them do this or do that, or don't do this or don't do that. But it's okay. Well, what makes sense for you? And what is it that you want to get out of this? And what's the motivation behind it? Because really, without the why, without the motivation, you know, just like with a diet, just like with any new habit you try to start, it's gone after a couple of weeks. So.
All right. Now, a couple of fun announcements. MK, really one of the things we've missed the most is you getting a chance to just share wins and updates from the community and for the community. But let me selfishly just start by saying that I think we have a very special anniversary coming up. And yeah, tell us more.
Yeah. So this time I get to give a big shout out. Congratulations to the two of you and Chris, who are the authors of our Choose FI book, because your book has been out for a year. Mm-hmm. It is your bookiversary, your book birthday. So it has been an amazing year. And obviously, I feel like it's so silly to celebrate this day because we were working on the book together for a year and a half before it came out. And at that point, I think we're all just like, good, out to the world. But, you know, in the past year, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been able to purchase this book and, you know, get the physical copy, get the ebook, get it from their library, listen to the audiobook. And it has changed so many lives. And I think that was the goal, right? Was that somebody could pick this up and, you know, learn these things for themselves. Or maybe somebody isn't open to having the conversation that we just modeled, but you can say, you know what, I read this book and I really liked it. And that's a way for somebody who FI might be a good option for them, for their finances, where they can learn about it. They can relate to the stories that are shared in the book. If they're maybe not willing to listen to the podcast, they can get the stories that way, and inspiration that way. And it's been so exciting. So kudos to the three of you co-authors for putting this together, for putting up with me and our editors and all the design revisions. It's been a great year to see all of the positive feedback, all of the great reviews. So thank you to all of our listeners for the reviews, and it'll still be there. You can still pick it up.
I see it right now, Brad. It's actually on the shelf just behind you, looking very good on your backdrop there on chooseify.tv. But I would just say to our audience to share this momentous bookiversary. We are giving away the first chapter for free. And if you're interested in checking it out, sharing it, just go to choosefi.com/book and you can just put your email in right there and we'll send you that first chapter so you can check it out. But it's very exciting to say that it's been in the universe for a year and it seems to be one. MK, if I were kind of noticing a trend here, every month it ages in a little bit more and it becomes a little bit more and more popular. So the word of mouth on this has been amazing. The reviews that you left for it on Amazon have been amazing. And I feel like when we launched it, the one piece of feedback I got is like, this is what they talk about on the show. And I was like, well, yeah. Like, do you think we're holding out on it? You think it's a secret here? No, it's. And so the farther we are away from the book release, those of you that are using this as a way to introduce this to friends and family, and those of you that are looking a way to consolidate 400 plus episodes of information into one game plan, those of you finding it now are appreciating it more than ever. And those reviews are coming through on Amazon and we're greatly appreciating it, but it's very, very cool. And Brad, to celebrate our bookiversary, get the bumper sticker, we are actually going to be bringing back our book drawings. You guys remember, for those of you that binge listen to the archives, at the end of every week, we would announce a weekly book winner, but we're going to do a slight pivot when we bring this back. Because part of what we've actually done on this show is highlight wins from the community. And you guys, as a result of being on the email list and seeing Brad's once a week newsletter and seen where he's asking, what have you done this week? What action steps have you taken? We are getting probably close to 100 responses a week plus of people that have taken these small steps, and some of them small, some of them massive, all of them inspirational. And so what we thought we could do is we could just pick a couple out each week, read them on the show. And if you hear your weekly win, share it on the show, then make sure you email us again. Otherwise, we'll reach out to you. But we just want to give you a book. If it's for you, great. If you want to share it with a friend or family member, great. But we just want to say we see you. We appreciate all of you. And we're all getting better together. So with that in mind, bringing back, feels like things are coming home, bringing back the weekly book review drawing we are sharing for our weekly book drawing. This is our Phi win of the week. Brad, what do you have for us?
All right, Jonathan. Yeah, this is cool to have this back. So I got an email as a response. As you mentioned, I send out the Phi weekly every Tuesday, and I got a response from Belinda. And this email is amazing. So I'm going to read the whole thing here. She said, what we did to make our life 1,000 times better is I tracked our spending for the last 3 months, which is very timely and appropriate, right? And it's amazing how much I've spent with multiple exclamation points here. But we finally made a budget. And what it has led to is we dropped our food spending for our family of four from $1,500 of mindless spending to $600
wow.
of planned healthy meals. That's $900 a month. I mean, that in and of itself is remarkable. We opened a Vanguard account and we're now putting away $500 a month. We refinanced our car from 6% with Chase to 2.39% with Navy Federal. My husband is maxing out his 401k, and I'm hoping to max out my allowed SEP IRA by the end of the year. Having control over our money has given us back power over our lives, right? Chills, Jonathan. Ooh. I see it. I see it on your face.
It happened.
That's an amazing way to get started back here with the book giveaways. And yeah, Belinda, amazing, amazing work by you and your family.
All right, guys. You know that's a wrap right there. I can't add anything onto that other than to say, if you want to enter yourself in the drawing for this, all you got to do, again, it goes back to what we said earlier, just get started on your own path to financial independence. Go to chooseify.com/start. And when that happens, once a week from Brad, you're going to get the weekly newsletter with something that he is being challenged on personally, an action step that he's taken. And he's going to ask you, what have you done this week? What is your win of the week? Just reply. Reply back to that. Let us know. And you'll be eligible for this book drawing. And it's a way that it's not just for you. It's for the community. You see how Belinda's actions, yes, did it transform her life, her family's life? Did it shave years off their path to financial independence? Did it open up incredible opportunity? Absolutely. But do you see the effect it had on you as the listener? How much more likely are you now to start the conversation, to take action, to share this with a friend or family member because you realize it's not too good to be true. It's just true. Let's get started. All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.